Hi, welcome back, folks. Nice to have you with us. It's a thrill and it is a delight to be with you here on the EIB Network. Rush Limbaugh, the Limbaugh Institute for Advanced Conservative Studies. Telephone number 800-282-2882. The email address rush@eibnet.com. Talking before the top of the hour break about John Edwards and his truly dangerous and just ignorant statements today before the Council on Foreign Relations. There is no global war on terror. It's just a bumper sticker so Bush can go out there and abuse people at Abu Ghraib and to get us into Iraq. Let me tell you how dangerous this is and how stupid this is. And by the way, I want to say this to all of you liberals in the audience. And people hate analogies to World War II on all of this, but it works. After World War II and Hitler and all that, people said, how could this have happened? How could the German people have sat back and allowed this to happen in their name? Nobody could understand it. The persecution of Jews and others who didn't fit the Aryan nation ideal. How in the world could it happen? Well, I hate to tell you, folks, it's happening in the United States right now. And that statement by the Breck girl is just the latest glaring illustration of it. All over the Democrat Party and the American left, there's no problem in the world. Oh, we don't face any real dangers out there. The biggest danger we face, according to them, is Bush. Bush has made the rest of the world hate us. This is really dangerous stuff. Half of this country, or 40% of this country, thinks the same thing. 35% of Democrats think that Bush knew about 9/11. Now, how can this be? How can we ask the question about the Germans and not ask it about ourselves? And when you add this to it, the people that we should be worried about are telling us precisely what they're going to do, and then they do it. They told us that they were going to launch terrorist attacks in this country, and they did it. And they did it on 9/11. So you have that as a glaring example. They'll do what they say. These are not the rantings of madmen who make the predictions that we face deep doo-doo over this. Muqtada al-Sadr, our old buddy Mookie, he has fled the scene from Iraq in the midst of our surge. He's over in Iran. He's out there saying, when the U.S. pulls out, we, meaning the Iranians and me, we're going to move back in and we're taking place over. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is out there saying he's going to wipe Israel off the map. Without provocation, just because they're there, just because his religious belief tells him he's got to do it, the 12th Imam thing. He's out there saying he wants to be the ruler of that region. Nobody's making this up. Now, if you don't want to listen to it because it's scary, if you don't want to pay attention to it because you think it's the rantings of a bunch of mad people who really wouldn't have no intention of doing this kind of thing, they just hate Bush, and once we get rid of Bush, then these guys will pipe down. If you really think that, then you're no different than the German population was during World War II. You're sitting there, it's happening right in front of you, and people down the road are going to ask, how could the Americans let this happen? Well, I can give you an answer as to how it might happen. Take a look at the news every day. The drive-by media is in concert with the Democrat Party, which is blaming this country for everything. Ahmadinejad may be saying what he's saying, but it's our fault because Bush is in office and provoking him. You, the American people, for 6 years, have faced a daily drumbeat of how all of this that happened is unnecessary. 9/11, yeah, we got to get used to these kinds of things, but to do in the aftermath, what we're doing is only provoking and making it worse, and the rest of the world hates us, and it's all because of Bush. Every day you're told that the way you live your life is destroying the planet, i.e. global warming. You are being inundated, we all are, each and every day, with a big anti-American message that some people in this country have taken to heart and believe. Meanwhile, the enemies that these people think are manufactured and made up are out there telling us what they're going to do. They're telling us what their intention. They're not even afraid. mean, Hitler was doing what he was doing in secret. He was making phony deals. He was promising not to do what he did. At least some of the German people had an excuse at the outset. After a while, they had no power because eventually all of them are going to become four at some point. But we've got no excuse. The only excuse we can have is that we're so fat, dumb, and happy, we've got such affluence out there that we can afford not to pay attention, pretend it doesn't affect us, and try to tell ourselves, that's just a bunch of madmen ranting over there. Bin Laden is telling us what he's going to do. He's organizing Iraqi al-Qaeda death squads to come to this country. And, of course, he says it. It doesn't make the news. If it does make the president has to go out and say it, of course, well, Bush just making this up to justify his unjust war in Iraq. They're out there saying it. Somebody actually believe that Karl Rove calls Bin Laden and Zawahiri says, I want you to say this today. So then the Bread Girl goes up there and says all of this is just a bumper sticker slogan. There is no war on terror, and there's none of this. It's just an excuse for Bush to abuse people at Abu Ghraib and to invade Iraq. So we will have no excuse if we find ourselves involved in this thing down the road, because they're telling us intently and often what they're going to do. And then you've got Hugo Chavez. Let's not leave him out of this mix. Let's not leave our own southern hemisphere. It's Hugo Chavez making deals with Americans to subvert our own country. Hugo Chavez in bed. He's trying to destabilize the entire southern hemisphere. We've got one friend down there, big friend, the president of Colombia, comes to this country and is totally dissed. He's cleaned up his country. He's gotten the influence of the drug cartels tamed. He's got productivity up, new freedoms and so forth for his people. He comes to the United States and gets dissed by the Democrat Party because he's a right-winger, and they say he used death squads. They refuse to meet with the guy. So we've got, and we, by the way, Hugo Chavez will happily align himself with any enemy of the United States if he has to align himself with Ahmadinejad or whoever. He'll do it. It's all out there. These people are all telling us what they think of us. They tell us what they intend to do. And yet, the drive-by media poo-poos it or makes heroes out of this guy. These guys, when they come to the UN, Chavez was a hero at the UN. Ahmadinejad was a pop culture figure who had a lot of curiosity. Imagine Hitler doing the same thing and being treated the same way. You can't. Wouldn't have happened. But it is happening now. So what the latest news, and I'm going to tell you something else, I think. I don't know anything here about this, but I don't believe George W. Bush will leave office with the Iranians in possession of a nuclear weapon or two. I don't believe he'll let it happen. Do not believe it'll happen. So we go to our old buddies at ABC, Brian Ross. The CIA has received secret presidential approval. Explain to me now how this is secret. Explain to me how in the world ABC runs this story. Responsible news organization would not run this story, advising the enemy what our intentions are, but they have. Will the Justice Department go in and try to find out who leaked this? No. Get too busy trying to nail Alberto Gonzalez on something that had no illegality to it, the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. CIA has received secret presidential approval to mount a covert black operation to destabilize the Iranian government, according to current and former officials in the intelligence community. The sources who spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitive nature of the subject, and perhaps because they were acting treasonously, say President Bush has signed a non-lethal presidential finding that puts into motion a CIA plan that reportedly includes a coordinated campaign of propaganda, disinformation, and manipulation of Iran's currency and international financial transactions. By the way, the Iranians just raised the price of their gasoline 25%. 25%. They don't want their people moving around. They don't want their people with any freedom over there. Bruce Rydell, a recently retired CIA senior official who dealt with Iran and other countries in the region, said, I can't confirm or deny whether such a program exists or whether the president signed it, but it would be consistent with an overall American approach trying to find ways to put pressure on the regime. All right, so why publish this, if not to undermine the effort? Pure and simple. Now, this is just another thing. Here, president's trying to do something about it. Regardless what you think of what this report is, and the fastest ABC can get it out, the better to undermine it. Now, the Department of Justice has a national security obligation to make sure that these leaks don't happen. They have, and the way you do that is to find out who's engaging in them and prosecute them. And there are no efforts being made in this regard to find out who in the intelligence community or wherever it is, state, Pentagon, who knows where it's coming from. There are Clinton holdovers, and there are career people in there that despise Bush and would do anything to it. This is what I mean when I say there are people, leftists, who will tear this country down, tear it apart, and rebuild it in their own image if they get the chance. And yet, today there were televised hearings of this Monica What's-Her-Face, Gonzalez's aide. Monica Goodwin. Monica Goodling. See? Whoopee-doo. This is just an attempt to get Gonzalez and get Bush while this stuff is going on. Now, at the same time this is happening, Reuters reports that the largest daytime assembly of U.S. warships in the Gulf since the 2003 Iraq War prepared on Wednesday to hold drills off Iran's coast in a major U.S. show of force that unnerved the oil markets. Well, now, what do you think's happening here? Is Bush just doing this so he can torture more people in prisons, justify his invasion of Iraq? That's what John Edwards told the Council on Foreign Relations today. U.S. Navy officials said that Iran was not notified of plans to sail 9 ships, including 2 carriers, through the Straits of Hormuz. It's a narrow channel in international waters off Iran's coast. It's a major artery for global oil shipments. One thing I know is that we don't know everything there is to be known about things like this. And I don't think Bush is going to leave office with the Iranians in possession of a nuclear weapon. That's just my humble opinion, but I don't think it's going to happen. But you stop and think about that. I beg snurdly. I couldn't wait. I wanted to wait on this riff till I had a liberal caller, because, you know, we just raked Edwards over the calls, and I wanted to get a lib caller saying, you guys are making this all up. There's no reason for war on terror. Edwards is right. And I just wanted to fire back. It ain't me saying it, bud. Have you heard what Ahmadinejad's saying? Have you heard what Mukhi al-Sadr is saying? Have you heard what Bashar Assad is saying? Have you heard what Hugo Chavez is saying? And then get this liberal's reaction. You got one? We don't have one. And we won't now. Oh, we don't need them anyway. I did the riff on my own. I didn't need a liberal for this. Back in just a second. Have a couple audio sound bites to back up that which I just articulated. Let's go to Morning Edition on American Morning on CNN today. The co-host, John Roberts. By the way, I know who's going to be the next hire at CNN. Stoned Phillips. Stoned Phillips was blown out at NBC. Well, that's what CNN does. They go hire the retreads the networks don't want and think they've hired stars. And that's what John Roberts is. John Roberts used to be the weekend anchor guy. Rather was there when he didn't get the Rather gig. He said, days are numbered here at CBS, and so he's over now at CNN. And, yeah, and if MSNBC hires you from some, you're finished. It's over. Anyway, here's John Roberts talking about the recently declassified documents the president referenced today regarding bin Laden's terror plans.
Did Osama bin Laden personally order the creation of a terror cell in Iraq with the sole purpose of attacking the United States? President Bush will make that claim later on today in a speech. He's expected to present newly declassified intelligence linking bin Laden to the former leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. What's the reason that he's declassifying a part of this and trotting it out in this speech? The information's 2 years old.
See, we can't trust Bush, even though bin Laden's already done one time what he's saying he wants to do again. And, of course, we're going to be more predisposed to believe bin Laden and Zarqawi than we will Bush. Bush making this up. I mean, this is newly declassified as questioning whether there was any relationship between Zarqawi and in Iraq and bin Laden. Zarqawi sent the guy notes, sent the guy mail. We have read them to you, transcripts on this program. And yet CNN is doubtful. Hey, was this not timely? This isn't news. Why, what's Bush bringing this up for? Here's an exchange on this that continued, bringing in the reporter Susan Malvo.
We've seen this before, that the president selectively declassifies this information. People are rather skeptical about it because they remember one of the big declassifications.
Stop the tape. People are not skeptical about it. You are, and then you make them skeptical. Resume tape.
Which was that national intelligence estimate back in 2002, which didn't turn out so well for the White House.
Well, you're absolutely right, because, I mean, it really is an act of faith here. We don't know, viewers don't know, really, the full body of intelligence here, just a select group of people in the administration know, including the president here. So, yes, critics have pointed out to the fact that, look, you know, the whole thing with weapons of mass destruction, a selective declassification, all of it turned out to be wrong.
Okay, so there were no weapons of mass destruction that were admitted to have been found, and so we can't believe anything ever again, even though we've got bin Laden saying this is what he intends to do. We've got Zarqawi or Zawahiri saying what he intends to do. But the big elephant in the room is they've already done it. September 11th, 2001. And yet these nincompoops out there continuing to try to discredit the president of the country and to make you think, making this up, trying to save face, for whatever reason. Darren in Billings, Montana, I'm glad you waited as we get back to the phones. Welcome to the EIB Network.
Hey, Rush, it's great to talk with you. Mostly dittos from Montana.
Thank you, sir. I've never been there. I'd love to go.
I was going to say, we'd love to have you up here sometime.
Well, I'll make it at some point.
There we go. Hey, I just, the problem with the analogy of the oil company and the grocery store is that the oil companies own the product from the raw stage to the retail stage. And the grocery store is actually the true showcase of the free market, where they're buying products from different places and different manufacturers and wholesalers. Whereas the oil company is controlling it all.
So?
Well, this is the reason that gas is the price that it is. They're the ones handling that. When there is no free market in the oil business.
Okay. There's no free market in the oil business. The prices in the oil business are fixed. You know, Democrats in Congress conducted an investigation. I think it was Senate Democrats might have been conducted an investigation after Hurricane Katrina to find out if there was price fixing. The Democrats couldn't find any evidence of it.
No, I wouldn't say that there's not. I wouldn't say that there's price fixing.
Well, if
simply
you
don't think that there is the true free market that we see in all the other industries. I don't see any other industry that controls things from raw material to retail sale. So I think there has got to be. I don't think that the supply demand marketing works in the oil business.
Tell me why it is then how it is that the prices in this country are lower than they are anywhere else in the world.
I don't have an answer for you right off on that.
Well, you know, I've got limited time.
I must admit,
you're a great guy. You're a nice guy. I'm sitting here. There's no free market in gasoline. The propaganda works on this every time the price starts going up, and I don't get it. I just don't. Thank you. Thank you very much. I know, but sometimes even I doubt how much being the best means. When you get otherwise intelligent people saying there's no free market in the price of gasoline, after all of the countless years of detailed attention paid to the subject, the painstaking research, the patient presentation of facts by me, I often throw up my hands. Let me try, because I know that the gas price is one of these things that when it comes up, it goes up. People think that there's some suspicious or conspiratorial reason behind it. They just cannot accept the fact that the free market works in gasoline. So let me ask a question. I may ask many questions. Let us speak of many answers. How many oil companies are there that sell gasoline in the United States of America? How many are there? Take a wild guess. I don't even know the answer, but it doesn't matter because there's more than one. And if you don't think they are competing with each other, then you don't know the world. ExxonMobil, BP, Shell, whatever, they and whoever the others are, they compete with one another. That's number one. I realize that some of you might think they all get together and set the price and so forth, because if there's no free market in gasoline. Second thing is, how many companies are there selling gasoline in this country that are not American? Citgo is one, as Hugo Chavez. British Petroleum. Do you think that ExxonMobil and BP and the rest are getting together with Hugo to set prices in the United States? Remember now, these people do the world market. Now, where does this oil come from? You know, gasoline is oil first, and there are a bunch of different places it comes from. It comes all over the world. It comes from Canada. In fact, that's the number one country we get oil from. That's our number one importer. Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, Russia. The oil companies do not own this oil as it comes. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Hugo Chavez just kicked the oil companies out of Venezuela. He's nationalizing everything. He's taking it. Screw you. If you want to stay here and run the wells and so forth, we can work out a little production deal, but this stuff belongs to Venezuela because the oil is ours. Same thing happened in Saudi Arabia. You know, Rockefeller got his change before that happened, but same thing happened there. They said, well, we don't need you anymore. So tell me how it is that oil, which starts the whole price timeline, coming from so many different places in the world, ends up as refined gasoline with no free market determining the price in this country. I want to know how this is possible. I want to know how it is that BP, ExxonMobil, Citgo, name your other companies, the signs that are out there, hell, I don't know, Conoco's merged with somebody. I want to know how they're getting together with the Russians and with the Saudis and coordinating this. I want to know how they, and then I want you to tell me the guys playing the futures market in oil at the on the commodities market. I want you to tell me how they are involved in this, so that the price is set by one person from the time it comes out of the ground till it gets to your car as gasoline. The idea that that's true is false. All these companies compete with one another at the retail level. They are competing with each other to find oil all over the world. We have to buy oil from all these different countries, and we have to refine it here. All of these aspects have market circumstances that rein in the desire for people to charge more than what they can get for it. Then you've got the stockholders of these publicly traded companies who are demanding profits as big as they can be. They're publicly traded companies, and if the managers of these companies don't get as big a profit as they could, or if they get too little a profit, there's going to be hell to pay from the shareholder. Now, I want to know how in the world anybody can genuinely think that the oil companies, who are citizens of the world, own every bit of oil that comes out of the ground, and then every bit of the processing before it becomes gasoline, and then it becomes gasoline and goes into your tank. I want to know how this happens. This is news to me. And why is it that the Democrats in the Congress are suing OPEC in order to do something about the rising gas? Why aren't they suing big oil? And how is it that OPEC isn't big oil? And how is it that Hugo Chavez isn't big oil? And how is it that Russia isn't big oil? And how is it that British Petroleum and ExxonMobil and Conoco, whoever else, how come they are? I'm sitting here mystified by all this. This is not to say that I'm insensitive to the price, but the idea here. One more question: have you heard of a country called China? Sure, many of you have. We refer to them here lovingly and affectionately as the Chi-Coms. Well, despite their best efforts over there, they are having an expanding economy. There are now multi-millionaires in China, and more people have access to automobiles that use gasoline. And they are putting a lot of pressure on the worldwide supply of gasoline. And in this country, your friends, the Democrats, are standing in the way of this country finding any more oil on our property, be it Alaska, be it off one of the coasts. They won't let it happen. While at the same time, they're talking about energy independence. So I want to know how it is that big oil, which earns 30% of its income from operations in the United States, I want to know how it is that big oil and all these companies competing with one another somehow control the product around the world from the moment it comes out of the ground until. I want to know how they own Saudi Arabia. I want to know how they own Russia. I want to know how they own Iran. I want to know how they own Venezuela. Nigeria, big oil, there's oil coming out of the ground everywhere but here. I want to know this. And if you can answer these questions with all the pressure on the supply, the worldwide supply that the rising Chinese economy is put, and the Indian economy, by the way, they're going bonkers as well. If you can tell me how big oil controls every drop from the time it comes out of the ground until it ends up as gasoline in your tank, then I can maybe accept your explanation. But you can't tell me because it's not possible. Because it isn't true. Because it doesn't happen. And I'll give you one a shocking statistic. I've forgotten the actual numbers here. I'm going to have to go back to my website tonight, to the archives. I got to remember the date and find this. Maybe Coco can search for it real quick when he hears what I'm talking about here. I was playing golf with a guy who had just had a conversation with an energy expert, and he was passing the story on to me. It was secondhand. I didn't hear it from the horse's mouth, but the numbers of people in this country who don't have electricity, people in the world who don't have electricity, would stun you, who don't have running water, would stun you, don't drive, don't have automobile, would stun you. I mean, it's a vast, vast majority. And if those people ever got... By the way, you people like flipping on the light switch at home. You like when the air conditioner works. Where do you think that comes from? They won't let us do nuke power, so it's coal. And it's oil. I just want to know how all of the... And I haven't even scratched the surface of the oil industry here. I haven't even begun to scratch the surface. The costs in finding it, drilling it, bringing it up, transporting it as crude across the oceans and pipelines and so forth. I literally am amazed that somehow the truth and the facts of the oil business, economics of the oil business, escape people when the economics of most other things are never questioned. Well, I'm not totally mystified. You've got the Democrat Party and the drive-by media routinely telling people they're being gouged, and you've got Democrats talking windfall profits taxes and so forth and so on. And I'm blue in the face trying to describe to you how much every gallon you buy goes to your state, local, and federal government as total profit. And nobody ever complained. And they're talking about raising those taxes, by the way, in the midst of all this. Because you know what? As the price goes up, some people are buying fewer gallons of gas, and that's fewer tax money and less tax money, and so the roads may not be repaired, and the bridges may not be repaired and built and so forth. So all these people out there want you driving these little windmill hybrids. I'll tell you what, if everybody did that and the consumption of gasoline went down big time, you think the taxes wouldn't go up to make up the loss to the government? They would. So this market is so complex. It's like the climate. Although it's not nearly as complex as the climate, it is profoundly complex. And to try to control it and corner it is impossible. Back in just a second. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have a little chart here from the year 2001 from the Wall Street Journal. The source of this chart is Energy Intelligence Group. And it's a chart of oil companies by size of crude production. The largest oil company in the world, this is 2001, and this is still going to pretty much hold true with maybe different production numbers, but the order of 1 through 5 here probably hasn't changed. Saudi Aramco is the number one oil company in the world in 2001, producing 8.3 million barrels of oil a day. Next is the National Iranian Oil Company, NIOC, at 3.77 million barrels of crude a day. The third largest oil company is Pemex. That's Mexico, 3.56 million barrels. And they just announced a huge find in the Gulf of Mexico off of their shores. The fourth largest oil company by crude production, and this is going to be a small number now given what's just recently happened there, is Venezuela. The company is PDVSA, 3 million barrels of crude a day, but they've just nationalized a bunch of oil down there that claims, so they're going to be higher than that. Number five is ExxonMobil at 2.54 million barrels of crude a day. So you got Saudi Arabia at 8.3 million barrels a day. There's ExxonMobil at 2.54. ExxonMobil's market share of the world oil market is 3%. Don't anybody call here again and tell me about big oil engaging in price fixing and controlling every bit of the oil from the ground to your tank as gasoline. Big news from the Rasmussen poll people. Just 26% favor the Senate immigration plan. National telephone survey conducted Monday and Tuesday night shows that just 26% of the American voters favor passage of this boondoggle. 48% are opposed. 26% are not sure. That adds up to, 74% don't like the plan, the Senate immigration plan. All right. Tammy in Mandeville, Louisiana, you're next. I'm really glad you waited. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Rush. It's an honor to speak to you on the eve of Memorial Weekend.
Thank you very much.
I just have to tell you, my late husband died during Katrina, and he would be so proud because he was a hyperbolic ditto head.
Well.
And his brothers, I'm sure they're probably listening. We all listen. I'll get right to it because I know you're running out of time, but I feel faithfully optimistic today in spite of all the bad news. I have a rather eclectic group of friends, from artists and musicians to church people, because I'm a church pianist. And we have very heated and lively debates on the world situation and politics. The three things that are really in the top three are the global war on terror, illegal immigration, and global warming, which I blow them all over with logic. Yeah, I don't even have to get scientific. Said, what blew out the dinosaurs? We weren't here then. One more big volcanic eruption and we can have another ice age, you know, get over the global warming thing. But what I'm noticing is that now when we get into the conversations, more and more of my liberal friends are saying that they don't like anybody. They're not just spewing their venom at the conservatives or the Republicans. They don't even like their own folks, and I think that's why the Democrats are starting to back off and waffle a bit. Political posturing, of course.
Well, I think it's because they're starting to waffle and back off of getting out of Iraq that your lib buddies are starting to get disillusioned.
Well, they really think that they're too scared of the terror and the illegal immigration. They think they're too soft on terror. And, of course,
Wait a second. Your liberal friends think that?
I'm surprised. I'm shocked. I mean, I've had some of them foaming at the mouth, and they're not doing that here lately. They really think that we're sitting on a powder keg with the fuse lit, like you said, and Edwards and all the left-wing people that are ate up with, they're almost socialists and communists. What do you expect? Nikita Khrushchev said he'd conquer us from within. And when we divide against ourselves and we don't unite, then that sets us up for the bad guys to come in and wipe us out.
I understand, but I'm stunned.
I really
am. And amazing. You said that your lib musician buddies.
actors and theater people, they're always left-wing
weirdos. Well, I know that, but that they think that there's a genuine war on terror out there?
The ones that I'm talking to do. There's only a couple of holdouts.
Well, how in the hell can... Well,
I think I'm a good... I think I'm a good debater.
But how can they be so oriented against Bush, then? Well, I think he caused it?
No. Well, I don't think they think he caused it, but the outcome hasn't been what they expected. And, you know, we're a society of instant gratification. We want it all right now.
Yeah,
you know, we're so spoiled and rotten.
We get it. You know, that's the thing nobody mentions. We get it.
That's it. And they're not thankful. You know, being content is a blessing. You know, being content with where you are. And I have to tell you, all three of my children are veterans or active duty. I have a son-in-law left for Iraq day before yesterday.
God bless you.
And one that's coming home today, and that was one of my other thing I told Mr. Snardley, was that I've been watching the news eagerly all day, hoping to catch a glimpse of my daughter and son-in-law coming off the USS Eisenhower in Norfolk. And all I've seen is roaming coyotes and wild bears and, you know, all
kinds
of horrible
news. Oh, yeah, the dirt story is now on a new appetite suppressant for your dog.
Yeah, they don't want to tell you about 5,000 guys that just walked off.
I know. Appetite suppressant for your dog and a missing mom out there. That's the big news. And Paris Hilton is apparently reading the Bible. You know, yep. Well, that's good, I guess, but... Well, folks, this has been a blast today. It always is. I enjoy informing and educating people. It makes for a better country and a brighter future. And entertaining you at the same time. We'll do it all tomorrow, all over again. Whatever's hot and whatever matters, guaranteed we will be talking about it. See you then.